Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English-Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can use to grow your podcast, and then in turn, your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
For having us again.
It takes a tremendous amount of time to put a website together. Whether it's because we think it has to be perfect, or is just there a lot of working parts to it, depending on how what you're doing with your website. So we wanted to talk about five website mistakes that are costing you clients, listeners, whatever your goal is to have that website. So let's talk about these five mistakes. Yasmin, unclear messaging. That I think that's great for number one. Could you break that down a little bit more about unclear messaging on your website?
Yeah. So I think of it like a brand guide. Everybody, I think most people know what a visual brand guide is. It has your logo, how to use your colors, what the color codes are. You should also have a messaging guide that tells you what your personality is, who you're trying to attract, who the primary, secondary audience is, how you speak about the problem that they're having. And that guide can then support you in creating the copy or the content that goes not just into your website, but into social media, email marketing, all of the places that your clients, potential clients or customers might be seeing you. So when the messaging is unclear, it can be a couple of different things. Either you don't know how your audience is describing their problem, so you're not speaking their language. You're not meeting them where they are. I love the example of a personal trainer. I'm sure I've used it way too many episodes. But if a personal trainer goes up to my husband and wants to get them to sign up, they will likely talk about health, and they will likely talk about possibly energy, and don't you want to have energy to go chase after your kids? That will likely get my husband to sign up. For me, that would not work because I don't like my kids. And I love my kids. I just, you know, I'm not the kind of person that is like, yeah, let's go out to the park and toss a ball. I'm like, hey, can we read a book together or watch a crime flick? Are you old enough to watch a murder show? So what that personal trainer, if they did their research and I am their target market, they will likely say something like, you've probably been on the couch too long. And those skinny jeans are not fitting really well, are they? And I'll go, maybe. Again, I'm not speaking from experience, but I would likely go, yeah, maybe. Maybe those pants, whether or not they're in style, they're kind of getting a little hard to button up. So maybe I do need a personal trainer because I need to look hot. So again, knowing your audience will help you understand the whole messaging. So it could be on your website. I know we're talking about websites today. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to do SEO research. You'll be able to sprinkle that into any podcast interviews or videos that you're creating. You'll be able to sprinkle in that messaging throughout your social media platforms. Understanding, having a clear understanding of who you're going after, how they speak, how they describe the issue and the solution can help a lot with almost, I would say, your entire, how you communicate your entire business.
And that can change over time. I think people mm-hmm. think they need to jump in and it's like, this is what I'm going to say and I'm not going to change from it. Well, if you don't evolve, you could die from not being able to be. And it also could be a stopping point of ever really doing anything with your website or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, allow the evolution to happen.
Yeah. And I will say that when you're DIYing your website or when you have a designer you have to give more guidance to, at least focus on that homepage to make sure that your messaging is on point on that homepage, because that is the most visited page. And that is really where people will scan. And if you want to even hone in further, I would hone in on the hero section, which is the first thing that you see when a page loads. That hero section should really tell me, you know, what problem are you solving for me? Who are you? Why should I even hire you? And if it either looks spammy or sounds kind of spammy, I probably will click away.
All right. Izzy, let's talk about slow load times. Now we're getting into the weeds and that website build, the images that you have. It could be a lot of other things that create a slow load time. Let's talk about we don't want the slow load time. Why? And what could be causing it too?
Yeah, so slow load times are the worst thing you could probably have on your website. I'm joking. But basically it like turns a lot of people away. If that page is not loading in a second, I'm gone. I'm frustrated. And I know I didn't give it much time, but if it's not gonna work, I'm not gonna even like mess with it. So
We're talking like a few seconds, aren't we? Like 2 seconds or so, which is, you think it's a lifetime. It's like, oh, 5 seconds, but it's like, no, it's two and we move on. Oh, wow. Wow.
And a lot of people do that, and I know I am one of those people because I'm impatient, but it's like you have to make sure that those load times are like good, or else you're going to be losing potential people looking at your website. And then another thing that they just need to maybe consider, like, do you have like a lot of pictures on your site that are just large in file that you're putting on there? Is there a different plugin that you're using that's slowing everything down? But there's just a bunch of different things. Sometimes I see that there's videos that they like embedded in the website, and then instead of like just putting the YouTube link where it can load when they like scroll down, it's a bunch of different things that could be causing it. Or maybe just like your website health is like horrible and it's just like declining as time goes
Yeah.
on.
It
So,
sounds like a good time for an inventory check. Maybe these images you have aren't worthwhile on there. They could be better images that are smaller load, that's right. Or the videos too. Yeah, is it worth having the video, whatever the video is, wherever it is, do you still want it there? Does it serve a purpose? Yeah. It seems like we're more and more accessing websites on mobile. I think that percentage probably changes every year. Yasmin, let's talk about that mobile experience. Developing a website on, both for and, the desktop and the mobile.
So mobile, ex I would say mobile first. Everybody's just, and it depends on your industry. I think most of our people are on desktop when they go to our site, but for the wide variety of clients that we have, usually it is mobile first that people will go in there. And I have been guilty of, I meet someone at an event and then I get to the car and I will type in their name, I'll go onto their website and all from my phone. So you want to make sure that that experience is great. But you also need to make sure that there's a couple of different ways to making that mobile experience. You can either duplicate the content and make it only show up on mobile and only show up on desktop. You can definitely do that. Ideally, though, you want the site to be really fluid so that you're not having that duplicated content. You're actually, it's re instead of duplicating it, you're reorganizing. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds of how that works, but it's a natural reorganization of the content currently there versus coding it so that something disappears and something reappears. And you just want to make sure that mobile experience is great. Things like, even simple things, like if you have a graphic that has text on it, first of all, please don't do that. That's not friendly at all for screen readers or anything like that. But a graphic that has text, it can't be read by screen readers. And when it's on a mobile device, it might get so small that people can't read it while they're, what's the point of having that? So making sure that it is live text, that it is naturally reorganizing itself, instead of forcing it with code or just having a random graphic is ideal. And then back to what Izzy's point about load times, your mobile experience also, you have to check that load time because it could be that they are on, they're in a parking lot or they're in a large building and everything's just loading a lot slower for them on mobile. It could be that they might not be on the best carrier, right? Or this is like their work phone and their work phone is not as snazzy as their personal phone. So just making sure that you're checking the speed for the entire site, but also for your mobile experience. I would say industries that need to really ramp up their mobile experience, if you're doing any kind of e-commerce, anywhere that there's some kind of the population that will be on mobile when they check you out. For us, again, most of the people I believe are on desktop when they're checking us out. And that is what I've seen for B2B sometimes. B2B, usually it is desktop or government. I also, side note, I hate government mobile experience website. Like their websites are horrible. But you also don't want people pinching and trying to zoom in. I've experienced that with certain organizations or like calendars of events that I'm trying to sign up for, and you're pinching and trying to zoom in, trying to read things. You don't want people to be doing that because they're going to leave. Unless they're really gung-ho about the mission that you have or something, they're definitely going to leave and they're not going to follow you.
Right, exactly. I think another aspect of our next topic, call those call to actions of whatever it might be, even if it's as simple as set up a time and talk with me, or whatever it might be. I don't think we've put enough thought to call to actions. Izzy, can you talk a little bit more about how to develop that? What's the strategy behind a call to action?
So especially on a website, it has to be one of the first things. If they're like one just searching for you and trying to get in contact with you, you can always just put it in the corner of your website, and that's an easy, like, here's a way to get in touch with me. And also make it very visible. Make it very visible. If they don't see it, make it a big old button on the side that they can click and they can immediately get to you. 'Cause then it's like, if they're going to sit there and wait to find how to get in contact with you, they will probably decide in the next 5 seconds that they're just going to go to somebody else where they can click the button. So it's all about just like one, putting it in their face. But two, like if I'm sending out an email for us, I'll put a call to action at the end. But like the verbiage I try to put in an email, because you're signed up for our emails already, you know who we are. I like try to phrase it a little more where it's not like pushing like salesy in the call to action. It's more like, we're here if you need us, and then the button underneath it. So there's like different ways to go about it. And especially like, so the email list, they clearly signed up and they know us and they know what we offer. I'm just gonna say, we're here if you need us. And that big button is still there, which is important. The button's still there, but like it's gonna be, versus if I'm meeting somebody for the first time, it's like I'm clearly going to be explaining what I do. And hey, like if you need anything, like here's my card. It's like that's what your website should be. It's like straight to the point of like, here's what I do. And I'm giving that introduction. And if you want to, the button is there to contact me. But yeah, that's what really is.
Yeah, it seems as though the booking calendars are becoming more and more prevalent of just chopping on, your calendar or whatever, and setting up a time to talk versus filling out a form and contact me, and then you follow up. You're eventually going to have to get on a calendar anyway to sync it up. So it's that the ease of just investing in a calendar somehow. I think the Google Calendar already has it for free. You've got your Google. And then outline the areas, days of the week or the hours of the week that you're open to having those conversations. But I'm seeing that more and more too. People just love jumping in. Hey, I'll send you a link to my account booking calendar. Let's figure out a time through Zoom or whatever the case might be, or it could be personal, however you set it up. But I think that if you haven't done that already, I'm seeing that more and more. I think that get rid of the hurdles. Set up time so you can talk. It's just one less email going back and forth, and the calendars are so slick anymore. They look really good. You can customize them, or it's just really easy to use. So yeah, Yasmin, let's talk about outdated designs. First of all, yeah, we need to refresh them. But how often? I mean, do designs outdate themselves quickly, or what are some nuances? Maybe it's just refreshing little bits and pieces of it too.
You can refresh little bits and pieces of it. Usually, if your site was originally well done or well created, it's, I would say, go in there every year and just check it out. Now, if you have images of like somebody speaking on an old flip phone and it's not like a funny image, right? It's just because that's the stock image you used. Maybe it is time to refresh it, unless flip phones are making a comeback, which I don't know if they are. So check the images, check if the colors are still consistently being used, and just get even an audit from someone just to, or a company, just for them to look at it and be honest with you, like, oh, hey, your site sort of looks like a MySpace page. Maybe we should refresh it. Or hey,
Unless you're going for the MySpace look.
unless you are, I guess,
Right,
yeah,
right.
going back to
You know.
it all starts with your goals, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
So if you're like, actually, that was the point, then that's great for you.
Home run.
I would also say do not look at your competition. We've gotten clients where they're like, well, this is my competition and I really like their site. That doesn't mean that they're doing it correctly. Izzy spoke about call to actions, and if the call to action is not on your competitor's site, if it's hidden somehow, or they only have the navigation to help people, but the rest of the page has no call to action, that doesn't mean it's correct. So, making sure that you're looking past just your specific competition, look at indirect competition, look at sites that you really like. So, for example, if you are a B2B, if you're a marketing agency, B2B, and you're looking at another, let's say, an employment office agency, and look at how their site is done. If you are a retailer, look at how another retailer's site is done, or look at other people's sites and see which ones are doing really well and which ones look pretty, but it's not strategic. So that's my biggest thing right now. It's your competition might have a nice site to you, but that doesn't mean it's correct or strategic for their business or that it is SEO friendly. I don't, and then refreshing it again, it depends on where your starting point is, because if you started off with a more timeless design, it could just mean that you are shifting the colors a little bit, maybe darkening the red or lightening up the red. If it is something that does look like a MySpace page, I know that that could potentially be your goal, but maybe you should give us a call.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's full of the, well, that could allow the flip phone images and such. So yeah, if that's the image you want, that's okay. Exactly. Before we end, I do want to talk about you both have a podcast. Let's talk about what you're doing with that podcast.
Izzy, what are we doing with the podcast?
Market like it's hot. We are talking about marketing and social media and SEO and websites and everything marketing related. And we're also funny, so you should listen to it.
Now you got a video form of that as well too, correct? It's not just audio only, right?
Yeah, we put it up on YouTube.
Okay, gotcha. I thought so. So you get to see the visual antics versus the audio antics as well too. So that's good. I just want to make sure of that. So if anybody has any questions about doing a website, avoiding these mistakes, what's the best way to contact you, Yasmin?
Just message us on LinkedIn, or you can go to our website, myrebelmarketing.com. You can also, if you're not sure yet and you do want homework for some reason, you can go to myrebelmarketing.com/checklist and download a workbook. It used to be a checklist. That's why the URL is like that. But now it is a workbook and you get more homework. And there are videos that can help guide you a little bit. Fill out the workbook. It goes through everything from SEO, it touches on email marketing and a couple of other items for your website, and trying to give you a very holistic view of your marketing. And then once you are frustrated or overwhelmed, you can give us a call.
Good. And if you have any questions, you wanted to us to take a look at your podcast overall, what you're doing right, wrong, best practices, and such, get onto my booking calendar at mypodcastguy.com, and it'll ask you a couple questions about where you are, what you're looking to take your podcast, whether you're beginning or you're in the midst of one right now. And we'll have a good conversation in regards to kind of giving you a fresh perspective of getting a podcast where you want it to be. And again, that's at mypodcastguy.com. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks for having us.